Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres will be playing Game 2 against the Mets in New York. And I believe that Jesse Agler was scheduled to be our host today.
Maybe he was. Maybe somebody made that up. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he still is. Maybe he no longer is. That's the crazy thing about all of this.
Yes, it is, Jesse. And alongside Jesse is a man that we rely on to give us all the latest news and insight on the Padres. It's Kurt Bavacqua.
It's nice to be plugged in, isn't it?
It's
we know nothing.
We know nothing. That's
we know
it.
Nothing.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
That's what you're coming here for, that expert insight and analysis. We know nothing, and we're proud of it. Welcome to Padre Social Hour.
We actually do.
Presented by United. We know more than, like, Blooper does.
We just know more because we're experienced.
You're experienced. You played in the big leagues, for goodness sake. So you know a lot more about playing baseball than any of the rest of us do. You've been traded, so you know what that's like. That's something that none of us have. I just read a lot of crap and regurgitate it. That's essentially what it – nah, you know, we're having some fun here. The point of the we know nothing thing during the trade deadline is that there's a lot of people flapping their gums, acting like they know something, and most times they don't. They may have heard something, but we all hear things. And the reality is this time of year, everything means nothing. Nobody knows nothing, and that's sort of what makes it fun. Because if we all knew what we were talking about around the trade deadline, well, what fun is that?
You have to be in a serious inner circle to get any kind of real ideas of what's going on, names being thrown out,
sure,
who teams are talking to, what players they're talking about. It just doesn't get out, so it's purely speculative.
That's it. And the inner circle people, well, they don't go tweeting about it. The people that are in the inner circle are not on Twitter at inner circle saying, hey, I heard such and such.
They don't even tell their wives.
It's it, man. It's state secret type stuff
it
going
is.
On. Padres lost to the Mets last night 4-0 at Citi Field. Noah Syndergaard threw 6 perfect innings. He looked pretty good. It was like you looked up. They were like an hour into the game. It was the 7th inning. And you're like, oh, wow. How about that? So we'll talk a little bit more about that game as time goes on. Also, Anthony DiComo, who covers the Mets for MLB.com, is going to join us next segment. He was supposed to be on the show yesterday, but they had the big Henry Mejia suspension announcement, so he had to go run and deal with all of that. So he was nice enough to give us some time here coming up in a few minutes. We'll talk to him about the Mets, what's going on with that ball club, particularly as it relates to the trade deadline. And we'll get you caught up on all the latest trade deadline news. Do you know, Kurt Bavacqua, that there has not yet been a move made today, officially? Not one trade today.
Yeah, there's a sit and wait going on. And we still have quite a few hours left until midnight. So up pops the devil. You never know when it's going to happen.
That's
it. I would imagine there's going to be quite a few moves that will be made in the next couple of days. People aren't in quite a big of a hurry yet.
Correct.
I don't think. I think the last 12 to 24 hours is really.
What's the old cliche? Deadline spur action?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
Sure.
And until there's a deadline, you know, look, the market is also changing minute by minute. The Tigers now, even though they won today, all of a sudden are saying, yeah, we're probably going to retool a little bit. And they're throwing David Price's name out there as available. They're throwing Yoenis Cespedes' name out there as available. And so that changes things. A couple of days ago, Aroldis Chapman was like the big hot name. Now today, people are saying, well, maybe Chapman isn't even going to be dealt because teams aren't going to be willing to give up what the Reds would want in exchange for their fire-throwing left-handed closer. So the thing changes minute by minute, and as you get closer to the deadline, it changes anymore. But you woke up this morning, and one of the first things you saw here on the West Coast was, oh, the Dodgers and the Marlins are making a deal that would send Matt Latos and Michael Morse from Miami, we just saw those guys this weekend, to Los Angeles, to the Dodgers. And then as we got towards lunchtime, it became, hey, there might be a third team involved because Morse doesn't really fit in with the Dodgers. And so maybe there's a third team where Morse ends up going. And now we get even further into the afternoon, and the latest on this deal is it's being held up. There might be some medical stuff that's slowing this thing down. And we don't know whose medical stuff it is. It could be somebody from the Dodgers. It could be Latos. It could be Morse. But whatever it is, we're in that like awkward in-between phase right now. Latos and Morse both like it's batting practice in Miami, and they're there. They're not participating, but like they're in uniform. They're in the clubhouse, and it's turned into one of those awkward wait-and-see kinds of situations.
That's a weird situation for the players and the club, for that matter. I mean, we see players that get traded in the middle of a game. We see players that get traded in the middle of a doubleheader and walk across the field to the other team.
Yeah.
And there's crazy things that have happened in baseball in the past years, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't happen again this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can certainly expect anything to take place. And, you know, somebody on Twitter made the comparison with the medical stuff to the Matt Kemp situation this offseason with the Padres, right? It looked like it was a done deal, and then all of a sudden you started hearing about his hips. And, well, is this thing going to happen or not? And eventually it does. And so you can see that a medical thing might cause a pause, but it doesn't necessarily mean the end to a deal happening. But the big difference is that took place in the off season when, you know, everybody's at home. This is taking place before a game. And so it's being held up, and Latos and Morse are kind of like, well, what's going on here? And, again, they're in uniform. They're in the clubhouse. One would imagine if their game starts in an hour, they may very well be on the bench during the ball game, and that really adds like a whole nother level of weirdness.
Which a guy that just took his turn in the rotation,
right?
A guy who we saw play over the weekend didn't look like he had any issues to me. I was watching him launch balls in batting practice, and then he played a couple of times during the course of the series here in San Diego. So I don't think that medical issue or physical that somebody needs to take is on the Dodgers side.
Okay, that's your guess.
Yes.
Okay. You know, whatever it is.
Speculation.
Speculative.
I know nothing.
Say it again, loud and proud.
I know nothing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So the Marlins and the Dodgers are making the news today. We're not necessarily hearing much more about anything. I had a couple of deals the Angels made late yesterday during our show, acquiring David DeJesus from Tampa, David Murphy from Cleveland. There was a more minor trade later yesterday, the Indians getting Jason Aquino from the Pirates. Today it sounded like the big deal was going to be Latos and Morse going from Miami to the Dodgers. That has not yet happened, and we'll wait and see on all of that. And then, of course, with the Padres, same situation as yesterday, which was the same situation as Monday, which is essentially that everything is on the table and consequently nothing may happen. It could be everything. It could be nothing. It could be anything in between. And we wait and see.
Weighing all offers.
That's it. That's it.
And see if they work.
And see if they work, because the reality is right now for the San Diego Padres, they got 2 days. They got 2 days. And they got 46 hours, if we're going to be more precise about it. And Friday, 1 o'clock Pacific time, no more deals can be made that don't involve the waiver wire. And it kind of feels like, and you said this, there's going to be a flurry at the end of this thing. There's going to be a flurry.
There is one thing I do know.
Oh, do tell.
I do know.
Can you share it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And out of the mouths of babes, there is no pressure from ownership to A.J. Preller to dump salaries.
Right. That's not what this is.
In this situation.
This is if you like the deal, make the deal. If
that's
you don't,
exactly
don't.
That's exactly right.
That's a good position to be in if you're
it's
A.J. Preller.
It's a great position to be in. So, in other words, Justin Upton's not going just because they might lose him at the end of the year. If he goes, it'll be to try to get a player back, value back, if, in fact, the ball club thinks that they might lose him at the end of the year.
That's the sense I have. There is not a desperation to make moves for financial reasons. There's not. That's not their concern. They committed to this money before the season with the intention of riding it out for the whole year. Obviously, the wins and losses have not gone the way they thought. And if you're going to get some relief, you have got to have a good baseball reason for making the move. It's
but
not just
no
a financial
give up, though.
Thing.
Right now,
no.
They're still in the gray area of we still have a chance. You know, they need to put together one heck of a streak. And they need some help.
Well, I don't know that even if they win today and tomorrow in New York, it totally changes the whole thing. And that's when the deadline is.
Right.
But that goes back to your larger point, which is that, you know, he'll make the deal if it's a good deal to make for him or if he feels like it's the good deal to make, not because he feels like he has to. A.J. Preller's not backed into a corner right now. I think that much we know, and that's a decent position to be in when you're talking and making these moves. Doesn't sound like it'll be moves for the sake of moves. But obviously, we will wait and see. All right. As the show goes on, remember, you can contribute on Twitter. Use the question and comments however you like. Use the hashtag PadresSH. That's how you send stuff our direction. We'll put the tweets up. We'll talk about them. That's the hashtag PadresSH. After the break, we're going to talk to Anthony Giacomo, covers the Mets for MLB.com. Learn a little bit more about this New York National League ball club. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Talk some Mets when we come back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres are in the Big Apple, getting ready for game 2 of 3 against the Mets at Citi Field. We'll get back to Padre trade rumors and all that excitement in a few moments. Going to check in now, though, on the New York Mets. A very interesting team for a lot of reasons in the National League. And, of course, the opponent for the next couple of nights. And we're going to activate the Cholula hotline. Anthony Giacomo, MLB.com, joins us. Anthony, appreciate the time. It got a little bit crazy yesterday with the Mejia news, huh?
It got really crazy. And it happened pretty quickly before the game. You know, as reporters, we're all sitting there, and there were rumblings. You know, I'd heard a couple of rumblings that things were happening, and I thought maybe it was a trade or something. And all of a sudden, MLB releases that Henry Mejia has been suspended for 162 games after having already served an 80-game suspension. I mean, it was wild. What motivates someone, a player, especially a player like that, that had such a bright future coming up, still had a really nice career ahead of him, was still young, to do something like that? It's unfathomable to me. There were a lot of raw emotions in the clubhouse last night. Even Sandy Alderson, the general manager, who's typically pretty composed, you could tell he was fighting a little bit. Just a lot of different emotions, anger, sadness, puzzlement. But, you know, the fallout from all of that is the Mets are going to be without one of their best relievers for the rest of the season, and probably will be without him for the rest of his career. I can't see them not parting ways with him pretty soon here.
Anthony, Kurt Bevacqua here. Explain to the viewers and people that are listening out there via Twitter and other social media what the players do when they fail a drug test. Not what they do, but how does a player fail a drug test? Do you know they're coming? Do they come certain times of the year? Or do they just show up out of a clear blue sky one day in the clubhouse and tell them to take a test?
Well, it's totally random when they do come, and that's sort of the beauty of the drug testing program. That's part of why it's one of the harshest in sports. But in terms of what happens, the logistics of it, you know, if you're a player and you're on something, and particularly what's interesting to me about the Henry Mejia case is in both of his suspensions, he was, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this, but he tested positive for stendozanol, which is a really old-school steroid that people used back in the 80s. It's been described to me as a horse steroid, things like that. So something like that, which is easy for a program to catch, I don't understand why a player would do it if it could be that easy to get caught and to get caught twice. You know, I'm not naive enough to think that no one in the game is doing stuff. I'm sure there are players out there who are on the cutting edge and aren't getting caught. You know, it's impossible to catch 100% of the cheaters. I think the game is definitely cleaner than it has been, but that goes back to my original point, is what motivates someone to go ahead and do this when the risk seems so high, especially with that particular substance that he was using? I don't get it, and, you know, to ask me to go inside his mind, I really can't. It's unfathomable to me.
Anthony Giacomo is on the Cholula hotline, covers the Mets for MLB.com. Let's get away from drug talk. Certainly a big blow for the Met bullpen, but they've made a couple of acquisitions the last couple of days in the trade deadline. Tyler Clippard, Juan Uribe, Kelly Johnson. Is there a guy there that you look at and you say, this is going to be the guy that's going to have the biggest impact for this club in the next couple months?
That's a good question. I mean, they've all had an impact already. Yeah. You know, Kelly Johnson hit a monster home run in his first game with the Mets. Juan Uribe had a walk-off hit the next day or 2 days later, and Tyler Clippard made his debut last night, pitched the clean inning. You know, for one to be the most impactful, I would say maybe it's Kelly Johnson, probably just because he plays multiple positions. He gives them so much flexibility now in what they can do with their daily lineup. You can put Kelly Johnson at second base, where he is tonight and where he's played most of his innings so far, but you can also put him at third base. You can put him in left field. You can move him around, and what that does more than just giving the Mets versatility with him in the lineup is it allows them to bench players when they're not playing well, which they haven't been able to do all year. This team has had zero offensive depth, so when, for example, Daniel Murphy, who is a notoriously streaky hitter, is in one of his cold stretches, you know, they haven't really had a choice but to just have him ride through it. He's barely gotten a day off. And you can go up and down the roster and so on and so forth. It just gives them a lot of depth, not only in the lineup, but what they can do on a daily basis in terms of shifting things around, resting players. You know, Lucas Duda is another player who I thought was going to see some time on the bench. Now he's caught fire all of a sudden, and that's not going to happen. But you can go up and down the lineup. It's not as if the Mets have a ton of players so you can say, well, this guy has to be in there every single day. Sure. They're not built like that. This team is built around pitching, starting pitching, bullpen, obviously, and with Clipper taking the place of Mejia, still projects to be reasonably strong. But the Mets aren't going to beat you with just slamming you over the head with this lineup. They're going to beat you with keeping the game close and, you know, strategizing a little bit, and that's what the move, particularly with Kelly Johnson, allows them to do.
All right. Anthony DeComo, MLB.com, covers the Mets on Twitter, at Anthony DeComo. One last one for you here, Anthony. We've seen the pitching. I mean, I think everybody knows about Harvey. DeGrom has been sensational at times. Syndergaard, perfect through six innings last night. It's called, they feel like there's a window there. Like, you know, hey, we've got this pitching. We got to go for it and try and figure out offense, you know, kind of one way or another.
Well, you know, how the Mets built this thing was in an era where a lot of teams can be afraid of arms, of stockpiling pitching arms, because the risk of Tommy John has grown so high, and the Mets have certainly had their share. The Mets have sort of gone in the other direction and said, we're not trading any of these guys. We're holding on to all of them, knowing that they're not all going to pan out, knowing that some of their arms are going to blow, and so on and so forth. You know, you talk about the quote-unquote big four that the Mets have now in Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Matt, you know, there's you add that with Zach Wheeler, who is supposed to be, and there's a chance that the five of those guys never pitch together in the same rotation. So what they're trying to do is just stockpile as much depth as they can, worry about the offense the ways that they can. You're not going to see a big splash move from this team before the deadline, but you might see them make another acquisition of a, I don't want to say middle of the road, but a guy who can help you in a specific way. A guy maybe who can bat leadoff for you and play center field in a platoon role, something like that. You're not going to see them go out and make a Troy Tulowitzki-style superstar trade. This team is trying to get better at the margins because they know winning in the margins is probably going to be enough for them, just given how strong that staff is.
Crazy. Just a game behind the Washington Nationals, who have just refused to run away with this thing despite expectations, and certainly going for it, and with every good reason to do so. Anthony DeComo on Twitter, at Anthony DeComo, writes about the Mets for MLB.com. Really appreciate the insight, man. Thanks so much, and enjoy the game tonight.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right. That's Anthony DeComo on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Interesting, interesting ball club right now.
It is an interesting ball club, and they've got a great starting pitching staff.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
They just can't hit.
We're not even facing any of them tonight. Bartolo Colon is pitching against the Padres tonight, who is a fossil and might be making some of his last starts for the Mets.
Somebody on Twitter said today, what happens if Bartolo Colon ends the Tyson Ross homerless streak? If he himself hits a home run. I said, if that happens, you go buy a lottery ticket. And Bartolo Colon should buy a lottery ticket.
That's for sure.
He's
that's not going to happen.
He's like Despaigne plus swinging the bat. And the plus is not for skill. It was just for size. It's definitely the most entertaining thing that they've got going. Colon taking at bats. The guy's 40 years old. Obviously, we know about the physical state that he's in. And in the helmet coming flying off the head while swinging the bat, it's not like a rare thing. It happens regularly because he just gets up there and he decides he's going to swing as hard as he can no matter what. And he spins himself into the ground, and then the grounds crew's got to come out and redo the batter's box because there's a big crater there.
So you think he's 40?
I get what you're saying.
He's not a day under 52. I promise you that.
He's beautiful, whatever he is.
He is. He can still pitch.
Yeah, he can
a little bit.
Not great, but he can pitch a little bit. He can. Look, at that point, if you're still doing it, good for you. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about last night's game. Got some good Twitter stuff coming in. Remember, you can hop on board Twitter-wise. Use the hashtag PadresSH. The hashtag on Twitter is PadresSH. We got all of that and more coming your way. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Okay, welcome back. We're at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Kurt Bevacqua, Jesse Agler. Game two of three between the Padres and the Mets. It's Citi Field coming up, a 4:10 first pitch. Tomorrow, early game. What, noon game in New York? Which means a 9:10 a.m. game here, which means Padres Social Hour tomorrow, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right, you'll be here right after your paper route is finished.
Exactly. I'll go out, I'll deliver the UT.
There you go.
And at 5, and then I'll come in and do the show. That's exactly right. I've got the East Village on my bike. I get one of those Deco bikes they got all over downtown. I deliver the paper to the 7 people that subscribe to the physical paper. That's not nice.
Downtown's kind of cool in the morning.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
I was down here early this morning.
You were doing your MLB Network hit.
I was.
On MLB Central.
People are out walking their dogs. And
yeah.
It's pretty neat. If I was a player now, I'm living here.
Several do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's convenient and it's easy. And if you're Will Myers, being so close allows you to ride your Segway to work every day.
Exactly.
Which, you know, what could be bad about that?
No, I'm in the suburbs if I have a family and kids.
Sure. No, if you're young.
If I'm single.
Oh, yeah.
And young.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I understand.
Maybe even old.
Maybe. Just single. No matter
exactly.
The age.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, exactly right. All right, so last night, a 4-0 loss to the Mets as the 3-game winning streak came to an end. We'll talk a lot about that. But first, a couple of Twitter things, and even before that, the latest trade news. This is why I say nobody knows nothing, okay, and why it's all silly. So a couple of days ago, the Padres and the Rangers, they're talking about Cashner, they're talking about Ross, who could be coming back. Well, now Jeff Wilson, who covers the Texas Rangers for the old Fort Worth Star-Telegram, says that for now things have cooled between the Padres and the Rangers. That doesn't mean that somebody might not light them on fire in 2 minutes. It just means that somebody – presumably in Texas, has told him that for right now, hey, it's cooled off. But again, deadlines spur action. Don't read into that. People are tweeting, hey, do you think the Padres are going to get a big shortstop? You know, maybe Baez from the Cubs, we've seen that name. Sure, maybe. Like, for us to sit here and try and predict things, we would be lying to you. That's what we're trying to avoid.
If you were to try to predict, what's the number one priority on this baseball team?
Here's the thing. Those are two different questions, really. I think what the number one priority is for the baseball team is not necessarily the most likely thing to happen in a trade situation here. Because rarely does it work, right, that you're saying, okay, shortstop, I would say, is the number one priority to answer that part of your question. But rarely is it as easy as saying, okay, we need a long-term solution at shortstop. We've got these guys to trade at the deadline. And that team has an abundance of shortstops. And, okay, let's make a deal. Maybe it does happen that way. But that's not the Padres could make 3 trades and may not get a shortstop back in all of them, because that's not how trades work. You don't just say, well, if I'm not getting the shortstop, I'm not making the deal. You evaluate each and every potential deal on its own merits. Mm-hmm. And if you like this deal, you make it, whether it's a shortstop or not. So those are almost 2 separate questions to make. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Do you buy it?
To a degree.
Yeah. It would be great to say, yeah, we want a shortstop and we're going to go at him. We're going to get the guy that's going to play shortstop for the next 8-10 years.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That'd be perfect. That'd be ideal. But that's it's not necessarily going to happen. And just because it can't happen doesn't mean they're not going to make other trades.
I mean, they have people in the minor league system that can play baseball, and they have people at the major league level that they're going to use to make any deal that they try to make as welcome as possible to this San Diego baseball team and to improve it. That's what they want to do, is improve this team. And if they're not going to make a move to get rid of a guy because he's got a long-term deal and it's not going to improve the ball club.
Right.
That's been very evident from ownership in the last few days that it's just not going to happen. And, boy, what a refreshing thing that is to hear.
No question about it. No question. So, look, you know, Eric, he's one of these guys. What are the chances they get an elite shortstop? I mean, elite shortstop's not easy to get.
No.
Not easy to get. So probably I would say not that high. But if they can get a guy that they think can be the starting shortstop next year and the year after and the year after and the year after, maybe that's the thing you hope for. But I don't know that that necessarily gets done now. Now, of course, that doesn't mean it doesn't get done in the offseason via trade or free agency. It doesn't mean that they don't sign an international guy maybe next summer, and in 2 years, 3 years, he's ready to go. Who knows about these things? But, again, it's a lot easier to say, hey, I want to fill in a gap at shortstop, and I've got some good trade pieces, than it is to actually turn those trade pieces into the shortstop. But if you can still get back more than you feel like you're giving up, at least based on need, then it's okay. I hope that makes sense. I hope I explained that clearly enough.
Not only does it make sense, but I think you pointed out something that few of us think about, the international aspect of things. A.J. Preller's been out looking at these players, and he doesn't report back when he sees players that they might be interested in.
Sure.
So he might know of a shortstop that this San Diego Ball Club can go out and get that puts us in a situation, like you just got through saying, that can help this ball club next year and for years into the future. You're going to take that all into consideration in the next couple of days when you're looking at different trades that you can make and making deals with teams or trying to make deals with teams and whether or not they work for the ball club.
And for fear of sounding repetitive, because I've said this a few times, but the trade deadline is sort of a repetitive time of year. Because we're all saying the same things every day, but it's really easy to take a look at the results of the deals that are made this week, you know, going back a couple days and going up to the trade deadline and saying, boy, Team X was the big winner. Team Y was the big winner. Team Z, oh, they're screwed. That was terrible. I mean, you only have to look back to last year in the Oakland Athletics, and after the trade deadline, I think most people around baseball were like, give them the flag. Give them the pennant. Give the American League pennant to the Oakland Athletics. Billy Beane's going for it. Look at all the moves they made, and when the two American League Division Series were beginning, a couple months later, the A's were not there. They lost the wild card game, and that was it. And so it's again, really easy to jump to these conclusions on August 1st, Saturday, and being like, oh, man, good for the Blue Jays. They changed everything. And then they lose 8 out of their next 10. Like, that's the funky thing about baseball, is it's a lot easier to look at it and say it than it is to actually go out there and finish the deal. Will Leach, sportsunearth.com, friend of the program, he wrote a really good thing earlier today that you should check out, and it was just about, you know, some of these big deadline moves made over the years, and you think, oh, boy, that's going to be the difference maker for that ball club. And example after example after example, not the case. And sometimes it's those little under-the-radar moves that end up being the biggest, and sometimes for teams it's the moves they don't make that end up being the biggest.
There's been a lot of bad moves. You never see the good trades. They don't have when you look at trades online, they never have list of the best trades. You got to really be specific when you Google the best trades in history. It's always the worst. There's such a long list of the worst deals ever made in MLB.
Yeah.
It's great. And you know what? There've been some bad ones.
Bad. That's the nature of this trade deadline. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk some more tweets. We got some good ones coming in, and also I keep promising it, breaking down a little bit more last night's 4-0 loss to the Mets. You can break it down pretty quickly. Maybe we do it now. Maybe we just break it down right now.
It's pretty simple to break down.
I got a bunch of syllables for you with a bunch of vowels in it. Syndergaard.
Exactly.
What else? Yeah, that was good last night.
You know what? It was about as well a pitched baseball game as I've seen this year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
From either side. You know, Cashner's thrown some good ones. Tyson Ross has thrown some good ones. Shields has thrown some good ones. And naturally, we see those guys all the time. And there's other guys. You know, Cole Hamels had a perfect game. I'm not too sure if Cole Hamels' perfect game was thrown as well as Noah Syndergaard threw against the Padres last night.
I agree with that.
I don't think that he threw more than two baseballs that had more than a ball of the plate.
It was incredible.
Everything was painted with a little tiny brush. It wasn't a baseboard brush. It was a grout brush. Ooh. I mean, he was really, really good.
Look at you with your construction terminology.
I know. I just thought that.
That's good. That's a good one.
That was good.
Write it down before you forget it. Because you can use that in the future when talking about pitching.
I already forgot it.
Bloopers got the tape. We'll help you out.
Good. We'll go back.
No, that's exactly right. And I thought Mudd did a really good job pointing that out over the course of the night on Fox Sports San Diego. I mean, you watch the Fox Tracks box that they've got up there, and you're right. I mean, nothing was in the heart of the plate.
It was amazing.
Eight shutout innings, three hits, perfect through six. He was really, really special last night. And he's like their third best guy.
At 97, too.
97, 98. And then he slows it down, and all of a sudden it's the snapping slider at 79. And as you said, everything on the edges. Everything on the edges. A lot of shaking heads from Padre batters.
Well,
he
was pretty impressive.
He
really was.
He absolutely
was.
Even
the pitch that Will Venable got the hit off of in the seventh inning was a good pitch.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of goes to your point about Hamels the other day. Sometimes the no-hitter stuff is more about luck than anything else. That might have been – you're absolutely right. That might have been a more – it sounds crazy to say it, but that might have been a better pitched game than Hamels. Hamels just got a little bit more, you know, luck when it came to batting average on balls in play.
I think any pitcher will tell you that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point to make. James Shields, by the way, two-run homer to Duda in the first, but 7-plus, just the 3 runs. He pitched well last night. You could say the old pitched well enough to win, just not on that night.
He really did. I mean, there were two bad pitches last night, one by James and the other one by Sean Kelly, and they both leave the yard. You know what? It's one of those games where it's easy to digest if the team's playing well and you're in first place or you're doing what everybody expects the team to do. But when you're fighting and clawing and you're trying to get going and you're trying to see if the offense can get going and you're proud of the pitching and everything's going well, and something like that happens, you go right back to, oh, here we go again. But it's really not like that. I mean, that's the way the game is. And you're going to run into pitchers that you have to give credit to. You know, we say that often. And you just have to think about that when a guy throws the game like he threw last night. I mean, it was an awesome pitched ball game. It really was.
There are some shutouts that are like that. I agree. And the unfortunate thing with the Padres this year is there have been games when they've been shut out when it hasn't been that kind of pitching performance. And those are the tough ones.
It is.
Yeah.
When you see guys rolling on the ball all the time, on balls that were when they're up in hitters counts, and it's 2-0 and it's 3-1, and you see the left-handers pulling ground balls to the right side of the infield, and vice versa with the right-handed hitters, that's what ticks you off. That galls you when you see that.
Yeah.
Especially when the guy's been working the outside corner on the hitters all night. If you can't see that, there's something wrong. But when the game's pitched like it was last night, they're lucky they're missing DeGrom.
Yeah, we saw him here. Pitched against Cashner here.
That was good. That was good enough.
All right, so that's last night. The least encouraging thing maybe, or the most discouraging, I should say, is the 15th shutout of the season suffered by the Padres. At this point last year, they had been shut out 16 times. So one more shutout at this time last year than this year. And, of course, last year's team was one of the most offensively challenged teams, you know, that we'd seen. They just didn't score. They didn't hit. And at this point last year, just one more shutout loss than this point right here in 2015. I would not have predicted that when this year began.
Certainly not. But you know what? There's some guys that are offensively challenged right now.
Sure.
That's all there is to it. I mean, look where Norris has gone from 2 months ago. You know, Alonso was hitting 340. When Will Myers was in the lineup, things were different than what they are now. Yan Gervais was hitting a little bit more than he is now. He was hotter. You know, it's just the culmination of a lot of different things where a lot of people got kind of a little chilly all at the same time.
That's it.
But yet Matt Kemp, he can't carry the team all by himself. He just can't do it. You know, one guy can't do it. You say he can carry the team, but you really can't. And if Matt doesn't hit, it seems like a lot of the times there's a lot of other guys that aren't hitting either.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, come back, put last night behind us, talk a little bit about tonight. Tyson Ross on the hill with the no-homer streak against Bartolo Colon. And we got some Twitter questions and comments coming your way as well. All right, we're calling all Toreros fan, USD. Join the Padres Friday, August 7th. That's a week from Friday for USD night. And get a USD-themed Padres hat. You can enjoy a summer night of baseball as the Pods face the Phils at 7:10. only tickets purchased through Padres.com/USD will include a USD-themed Padres hat. The hats are limited, so get your tickets today. Padres.com/USD. That's cool. A little cross promotion there between the Toreros and the Padres. Padres.com/USD. Take a break. Come back. Your Twitter questions and comments after this. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, Kurt Bavakwa, you ready for the latest trade rumor involving the Padres?
Yes.
This one is incredibly vague. I mean, this is really. Houston Chronicle, quote, "The Astros and Padres are gaining steam in talks over pitching. Multiple people close to the situation said nothing was in the red zone yet. However, the Astros continue to talk to many teams." I mean, come on. Like, you don't have any actual information there. Like, that's like, hey, I heard the phone ring and a guy might have picked it up. That's essentially what I'm getting from that.
I like that.
Oh, man.
That sounds like Joey on Friends.
Yeah, like, okay. Cool. Good luck.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in the same position we are.
You a big Friends fan?
We know nothing.
Nothing. This guy knows nothing.
I just remember Joey as not being real smart.
Got it.
He was the actor kid, right?
I believe so, yeah. I was not a Friends fan. I was not a Friends
fan. I was because of Jennifer Aniston.
I can understand that. Mm-hmm. You are not alone. You are not alone. Probably half the audience.
Why would? Yeah. At least.
Exactly. All right, we've been promising Twitter questions and comments. Let's get to a few of these now. Ethan starts us off, and this is very nice. He's thanking us. We don't get that a lot. Thank you for not talking about Tom Brady and the Deflatriots on this show. Our pleasure. Our pleasure. It's a respite from Deflategate.
Mm-hmm.
Here, just silly trade rumors from the Houston Chronicle. Our pleasure, Ethan. Cody is up next, our buddy, and he wants to know if Tyson Ross is our future ace. And he puts ace in all caps, Tyson on the mound tonight against Bartolo Colon. It's an interesting term, ace, but boy, has he pitched very, very, very well as of late.
Not too sure if you need the term future. I mean, he might be the ace now.
One could make that argument.
Sure. I mean, he's going to be one heck of a pitcher when he decides to throw fastballs up in the strike zone. I'm still working on that. I need to go in and talk to him about it as soon as I get to know him a little better.
You know, he's doing okay without your advice, but
there's no doubt. But look, everything is down. Everything's down. Can you imagine if he changes eye level?
Well, now, okay,
how much
look,
better he's going to be?
I know nothing about hitting major league pitching. You do. You hit over 400 in a World Series, for goodness sakes. However, I'm thinking with Tyson Ross, everything is the slider, which is the out pitch, and he throws it a ton.
Absolutely.
When it's good, it's down. It's buried. It falls off the table. So you want it to look like the fastball, right? And so if you're putting the fastball up, well, then they know it's not a slider. Is that a thing? Does that make any sense?
No.
Okay.
No, that part, just the analogy that you tried to make with the parallel between the slider and the fastball.
Well, don't you want people think the slider is the fastball, and it starts low. And then it ends really low. So in order to keep that going, the fastball itself has to also start at a similar plane.
The rotation on the slider is a lot tighter than it is on a curveball. Now, there, you see that right there?
That was a fastball up.
I like
to
that
Charlie Blackman.
Yes, and he had no chance.
None whatsoever.
But Charlie Blackman swung the bat very well against San Diego Padres this year. But not that pitch. He's not going to hit that pitch from any of our starters, for that matter, with the exception of Spanier, if he lets off a little bit.
Okay. All right. And, of course, Tyson Ross's name, as we're talking about him, has been in trade talks. And that's one of those guys that if the Padres move Tyson Ross, it means they're getting something very special back because he is very special. You don't do that just for fun. He's controllable. He's inexpensive, you know, from a relative standpoint. He's good. He's very good, especially right now. If Tyson Ross were to move, it's got to be part of something major.
I would think
back.
It would be multiple specials.
Yes, fair enough.
For a guy like that.
All right. We were talking earlier about the shutouts and the lack of run production at times this year for the Padres. So a couple of people have come in with their ideas on how the Padres can score more runs. Okay? And we're going to start with Eric. And why don't we start to use the bunt play? Runners on first and second. Nobody outs. He wants more sacrificing.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, it depends
on
the situation.
According to, sure.
If the pitcher's up, I'm with you, Eric. If not, I don't think so. because I'm not playing for one run. I'm just not most of the time. Now, if it's the eighth inning and you're down a run or you're at a tie game or you're up by one, you want more, that's one thing. But if it's the third inning of a game, I'm not about to give an out to try and play for one run. I don't know. I mean, it depends who's up.
Well, let's go to the geek stuff. Yeah, the FanGraph geek stuff.
Yeah, your fan graphics would say not to bunt there most of the time because you're only going to get one run out of it.
When FanGraph says that the Padres win 62% of their games, and these are just numbers I'm throwing out there.
When they score two
or more
runs. When
they score first.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real –
and the score's tied.
I don't think scoring first is a thing when it comes to, like, really trying to predict what goes on. It might
no,
be
the
coincidental.
The statistic is there.
Yeah, but it's coincidental more
no,
than anything.
No, it's not coincidental.
Okay.
It's a statistic. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
It puts momentum on the side of the team that scores first,
mm-hmm.
and it puts a, okay, we have to score now situation on the other team.
Sure, it changes their approach maybe.
It does.
Yeah.
It absolutely
sure.
does. I've seen it change the approach to our hitters this year at certain times when the other team has scored a run or two and the way they go about hitting is different than it is. So if, in fact, that stat is there, which we know it is because we're both stat geeks, then whatever the statistic is, you try to score runs first. And if you got a guy on first and second and you've got a hitter up that can handle the bat,
yeah,
I'm having the only two guys that aren't bunting on this team in my mind, are Upton and Kemp.
Well, how do you know if the other guys are good bunters?
They need to learn how to bunt if they can't bunt. I can tell you that right now.
I don't know if more bunting is necessarily the solution for this team.
Not all the time.
Yeah.
Certainly isn't.
Occasionally, you're saying? A little more? A lot more? A medium amount more? How much would you like to see?
Not a lot more.
Okay.
A medium amount more.
Medium. Okay.
A small amount more.
Okay. A little amount more.
Yeah.
All right.
Not even big.
Okay. No, that's fair. I would say for me it's situational. Very situational.
There's no doubt that
and
it's
there's
situational.
More than two guys I'm not asking to bunt. That's me. All right. Bloopers.
That'll
says we
never
break.
Bunt, I said.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the same
the
thing.
Only two that'll never bunt.
All right. So there's more than two for me. But I get what you're saying.
All right. If you've got a tough left-handed pitcher up.
Mm-hmm.
And Upton and Kemp just got on base.
Right. And Alonzo's up.
Yonder Alonzo's up.
Swinging away. No question. Not even a question in my mind. Now, if it's the eighth inning and you're down one.
What if it's the seventh inning?
What's the score?
And you have 0-0.
Swinging away.
Really?
Yeah. Look
That's
at his average.
That's why you're not managing.
Look at his average against left-handed pitching this year.
No, you're right. He does hit left-handers good.
Yes, he does.
We need more than an hour.
Probably, because Blooper is telling us we got to go. He's hitting .315 against lefties. Hey, dress in your most rad 80s gear and head to Petco Park Sunday, August 9th for Sunday Fun Day. $25 package includes a ticket for the game against the Phils, a drink ticket, and an 80s-inspired pair of sunglasses. So get your tickets at Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. Take a break. Come back. More of your questions, your comments right after this.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Game two of the series coming up, about 20 minutes away from first pitch in New York. Bartolo Colon on the hill for the Mets against Tyson Ross. Take a look at the starting lineup for the Padres. It is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. Venable, Solarte, Kemp, Justin Upton, Alonzo, Jerko, Amarista, Hedges, Ross. In our Supercuts head-to-head challenge today, Kurt, you've got the first pick, and you are taking?
Tyson Ross.
All right, I like it. You expect him to have the biggest impact on the game. Blooper, what about you?
Jed Jerko.
Oh, against Colon. Interesting. All right. That's
very good.
The Supercuts.
You know what? I like that
challenge.
Pick.
That's very nice of you to be complimentary of him.
Yes, I like that pick, Blooper.
All right. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. We'll see which of those guys has a bigger impact on the game tonight, and we'll assign a point either to Kurt and the couch or to Blooper. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian, there you go, presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies, as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park at the Park, or the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break, and when we return, we'll wrap up this Wednesday Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Kurt bunt him over Bavacqua. Cranky Ed.
A new nickname.
Cranky Ed checks in. Hey, Kurt, ever thought about managing? Your approach to the game is right on. Love you, Cranky Ed.
Cranky
it's been a while.
Ed, I love it.
Cranky Ed wants Bavacqua to manage. Just bunt him over, baby. Give away all those outs. That's it. We're done. But the game is coming up, so stay tuned, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for the show.
I'm going to be tweeting during the game.
Can't wait.